Where are you in your life's pathway towards an eternal relationship with God? We each have the option to turn aside and ignore God's call to us, but the truth is, God is not done with you or me yet. Today on Scandi Bible Church Podcast, Elder Keith Barker delivers a message that points out the steps that God has taken to guide each of us into His holy presence. And welcome to the Scandi Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, March 10th, 2013. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandibiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, Chains of Love.
Well, this will be the fifth time I've given this message this week to an empty church. Not entirely empty, because my kitty came down and sat right there with his tail wrapped around his feet and watched me talk. I don't know. Looks like he's got some idea what I'm talking about. There are five sermons. There are five Sundays this month. So, Monty will be taking Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and I'm taking the rest. As a bit of a review, a few weeks ago, you learned more about the reduction gears of an aircraft carrier than you ever wanted to know or thought you needed to know. And you recall the one sailor who took a paint scraper and dropped in the reduction gears, which sabotaged that aircraft carrier. And as we said, he might well have said, you know, it was just a paint scraper. 40 years in prison is a little too much for a paint scraper. And I projected that Adam might well have said to God, you know, it was just a piece of fruit. I didn't even eat it all. I could even put the rest back if that would please you. But no, Adam had put his heart against having God in charge of his life. Just as Satan said, I will be like the Most High God. Rebellion. That was an act of rebellion, and Adam sabotaged the human race, as it were. Last week, we talked about gold. We even had a gold brick, remember? How much gold did King David have? 5,000 tons of gold. My, he had a lot of gold. Remember, we talked about how heavy gold was. If we had a teeter-totter here and we had a gallon of gold on this end, like a milk jug, we had a gallon of here, how many gallons of water would it take over on this end to lift that gallon over there? 19.3 gallons of water to push this side of the teeter-totter down. It's very, very, very heavy and very valuable. Well, we decided that God does not want nor need our gold. He wants our love and our lives. They say the specific gravity of gold is 19.3 children, should you ever have a test on that. Well, today you're going to learn more than you ever wanted to know about chains. When you buy chain, if you're a logger or you need a good chain, or you're a truck driver for binding loads down, or you're a yachtsman, you're buying anchor chain, you buy, and this is junk chain from Home Depot, you buy a good chain, you buy proof test chain. And they will tell you, they will guarantee, if you're buying, let's say, 3/8 chain, they will say, this chain will lift 1,000 pounds every day for the rest of your life and not fail you. We guarantee it to 1,000 pounds. How do they do that? Because they lift not only 1,000 pounds with it when they're testing it, they lift 2,000 pounds. Not only that, but they lift 3,000 pounds. And at 3,000 pounds, they notice the links start to elongate a little, but they don't break. So they say, you know, we'll guarantee this to 1,000 pounds. Proof test chain. Well, we're going to talk about the links of a chain today. Finally, I'll let you peek there. We're going to talk about the links of a chain that will never break, no matter how hard you pull on it. As an open illustration, let me share how they capture and tame a wild elephant. I've seen this done on a documentary. They make some long fences and cover them with brush that funnel down to a small area. They drive an elephant down there, and he goes into an enclosure about the size of our floor foot of our footing of our church here. It's got high walls with really thick timber on it that even an elephant can't crash through. And then they close the gate on him, and there he is. It's high above his head. He's not happy. He's flaring his ears to look bad, and he throws his trunk up in the air and goes, "Aah!" Was he hearing another one of those? "Aah!" So he's really mad. And he'll do that for a long time, for days. Sometimes he'll rest a little, but he'll get right, because he's afraid. He doesn't like being captured. But eventually, he calms down a bit, and one night when he's standing there sleeping, a man will sneak in and take a good chain, and it's heavily wrapped, and will put it around the elephant's leg real tight in the back, like that. Well, when the elephant wakes up, he says, What is this?" And he pulls against it. And the other end of it is wrapped around a big stump that's there. And the elephant pulls and pulls. And he does the thing. You want to hear that again, kids? So he does that, and he flaps his ears, and he's really mad. And he'll do that for a long time, jerking and pulling. You think, my, he's going to hurt his leg. But finally the time comes when he says, "You know, I can't break that chain." His thinking process, elephants are pretty smart. His thinking process comes to the place, he says, "You know, I can't break that chain, and I can't pull that stump out. And from that moment on, you can go in, remove that chain, and put a rope around his foot attached to that stump, and he'll never pull on that rope hard enough to break it." He's already decided, "I can't break that." Now, you would think, having done this four other times, I would be nowhere to find myself in my notes here. He has come to peace with his restraint. And there are no shortcuts around life's hard lessons. The hard school of life, when we quit fighting it, will bring us peace. And the elephant finally befriends his restraint. He tested it repeatedly and has grown to have confidence in it. Did you know that God also has a salvation chain that will never break, that you have absolute confidence in? And God's salvation chain has five links. And we're going to be in Romans today. Every link in his salvation chain reminds us of God's activity, which makes salvation available to every person. And if you want to better understand God's grace, just take a look at salvation. Salvation was never a man's idea. It was God's idea. Salvation started in the heart of God, not in the heart of man. We love him because he first loved us. But we're talking today about chains. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, held by chains of love. And such mighty chains of love allowed Christian martyrs to choose to be burned at the stake or eaten by wild animals in an arena rather than deny Jesus Christ. And Paul's list of what he went through, I read this last week, and I always enjoy reading it. The chains of love that held the Apostle Paul and kept him dedicated to that which was his life task. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, "I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews a 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews. I've been in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers." Paul was in danger. Nevertheless, the chains of Christ's love held him committed to his task. "I've labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked." But like the elephant, once you've surrendered to Christ's chains of love, Your life is over and his life begins in you. Remember, I have yet to find a missionary who would not rather be on the foreign field with all the trials and discomforts than to be at home, held by chains of love. Well, we'll call that our opening illustration. Let's begin with prayer. Father God, your precious word and your amazing word, we thank you that it's consistent, immutable, and never changes. And Father, there's a lesson here for us today, and I pray that, especially for our children, perhaps they can, for the first time, realize the wonderful chains of love that you reach out to humanity to draw us to yourself. So take this time and glorify yourself, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Every link found in God's salvation chain says to you, I love you. These are links of love. And it's those links of love that I want to talk about today. The first two links of love in God's salvation chain are in Romans 8:29, where we hear Paul say, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So our first link in our salvation chain is foreknowledge. God knows everything that has happened. God knows everything that is happening. God knows everything that will happen. And the second link in our salvation chain is predestination. Predestination has everything to do with the saved and nothing to do with the lost. Almighty God not only foreknew me, he predestined me to be like Jesus. And it's like the story of the sculptor who carved a gigantic horse out of a rock. And when somebody asked him, how did you do that? Oh, he said, it was easy. I just started with this big block of granite, and I chiseled away everything that didn't look like a horse. And that's exactly what God is doing in your life. He's taking things that happen to you and using them to knock away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. A.W. Tozer said, when I understand that everything happening to me is to make me more like Jesus, it solves a great deal of anxiety. So that brings us to verse 30, where we can find our third love link that makes up our salvation chain. And that third link, as you can see, is called, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Now let's put those three links together. We're building our chain. God foreknew me, he predestined me, and he called me. And what's true for me is true for every born-again child of God. Do you know why I'm saved? Because I answered that call. And I answered that call on my own free will. Nobody dragged me, but somebody drew me. And that's what Jesus tells us in John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Jesus uses that same word translated draw in John 12:32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. So it was God the Father who drew me, that called me, that subpoenaed me to be saved. And that calling brought me near to him through the work of his Holy Spirit and through his word. And together they made me aware of my guilt before God and gave me an understanding of my need for Jesus, which led me to choose to embrace him as Savior. I read 2 Thessalonians 2:14. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the word of God, we are called. Through the word of God, we are summoned. And I read out of 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So God takes a man of God and through him declares the word of God so that we may become people of God. And one of these days, every man and woman will give an account of what they did with that calling. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That's a mouthful. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You see, God first loved me, and that's why I love him. And he called me, and I chose to answer him. Yes, God is sovereign, and under his sovereignty, God has given man a free will. His sovereignty never tramples on the free will of man. And you say, aren't they both taught in Scripture? The sovereignty of God and the free will of man. They are. And I'm glad they are. And here's what that tells me. The free will of man and the sovereignty of God are not enemies. They are just looking at salvation from different perspectives. The free will of man looks at salvation from man's point of view. And the sovereign grace of God looks at salvation from God's point of view. I quote Charles Spurgeon frequently, the boy preacher of England. And he said, salvation is like a door, and as you approach the door, you see over the door whosoever will. And you say, I will. Yes, I will. I think I'll go in. And you go in the door of salvation, and when you come through the door, you look back, and on the other side, over the door, it says, chosen before the foundation of the world. Do I understand that completely? No, I don't. But I completely appreciate it, and so should you. Yes, there is a call from God to salvation. But there's another call from God. And that's the call to service. And both calls begin in the heart and mind of God. First comes the call to salvation, then the call to service. And those whom God calls to salvation, he calls to service. And as one preacher said, not to just sit, soak, and sour. You see, whom God chooses, he chooses. And whom God chooses, he uses. It's an absolute. That's why he gives us spiritual gifts. In fact, you couldn't fulfill his call to service without them. God called Moses to service, and then he equipped him for that call. God called Joshua to service, and then equipped him for that call. He called Paul and Barnabas to service and equipped them. And remember Amos. He called Amos, and Amos says, wait a minute, I'm neither a prophet nor the son of the prophet. I'm basically just a shepherd and a fig farmer. Are you sure you want me? But God, having called him, equipped him. And what I'm trying to say here is that those who God calls, he equips. So what's God calling you to do? And where is that call being fulfilled? God called me to be an elder. It wasn't my idea. And he called me to fulfill that call as your pastor. Monty and I are privileged and humbled to have the opportunity to be your servant, your servants here. So what has God called you to do, and where is he calling? Where is that calling be fulfilled? Now that you've said yes to the call of salvation, he wants you to say yes to the call of service. Don't be disobedient to the first call. Don't be obedient to the first call and disobedient to the second call. Okay, now back to Romans 8. Beginning in verse 29. We find these five links of love that make up God's salvation chain. Number one, foreknowledge. The second link, predestination. The third, called. And the fourth link, justification. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also glorified. So what is justified? Well, the word justified means to be declared righteous, to be declared righteous, to be in right standing with God. And who declares us righteous? Who declares us in right standing with God? Our holy God declares us righteous, that's who. And he declares us not on the basis of our merit, but on the basis of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. See, Jesus not only died as a sacrifice, he also died as a substitute for us. He bore our sin on the cross, taking the penalty of our sin upon himself. Do you see that? There are two things. There's the sacrifice and the substitute. God declares us righteous and equips us of all charges. He declares us not guilty of any sin based on the sacrifice and the substitute of Jesus. Now that's from God's perspective, but what about our perspective? How are we justified? Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith. And faith is taking God at his word and acting on it. And when we do what God says to do, we are exercising Bible faith. By justification, we have been once and for all declared not guilty before God. Romans 4:5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. That's a marvel, and it'd be a stumbling block to a lot of people. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So how can a sinner be declared not guilty before a holy God? How can God declare someone who is unrighteous to suddenly and forever be righteous? How is that possible? Well, Romans 3:26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Because God is just, he's also the justifier. He's the only one who can declare us once and for all not guilty. Let's look at Romans 4:6 for a moment here. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Do you hear the word imputes? It's a bookkeeper's term. And it means to put something into your account. So what does God put into your account? What does God put into my account? Righteousness. The blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness, Romans 4:6. Imagine a courtroom situation for a minute. Our accuser, Satan, is a prosecutor. He points out to the judge why we are guilty and should be condemned to die. But our advocate, our lawyer, who is none other than Jesus, pleads our case. And Jesus has never lost a case. While sitting beside us, our advocate Jesus says to the judge, "My client is not guilty. The penalty for his sin already has been paid in full. Exhibit A, my pierced hands. Exhibit B, my pierced feet. Exhibit C, this wound in my side." And suddenly Satan shouts out, "I object." And the righteous judge responds, "Objection overruled." Why? Because Jesus is the perfect substitute. The penalty for our sin was paid. And the verdict comes, not guilty, fully justified. Now when God the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. Because we are in Christ, God can no longer see our sins. He sees the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a life-changing fact if you can get to the point where you can digest it. Perhaps this little illustration will help. Preacher tells of a Sunday school teacher who asked her class one Sunday, "Is there anything God cannot do?" And one little girl, Sally, raised her hand. And teacher said, "Sally, tell me one thing God cannot do." And Sally said, "God cannot see my sins through the blood of Jesus." That's what it means. Sally had it. God cannot see my sins through the blood of Jesus. That's what it means to be justified. And there's only one who can take a guilty sinner and declare that guilty sinner not guilty before holy God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the justifier. And that's what the Bible calls justification, our fourth link in our salvation chain. So we had foreknowledge, predestination, called, justified, and perhaps the most exciting fifth link, glorified. Moreover, whom he predestined, Romans 8:30, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So what is glorified? Well, the Greek word means clothed with splendor. And did you notice that Paul uses the past tense, glorified? And what does that mean? It means it's already been done. It's not that one day you will be glorified. God has glorified you. Past tense. And if you struggle with the doctrine of eternal security of the believer, that once saved, always saved, I don't know what further proof you need than this to settle that issue in your heart. God has glorified you. In the heart and mind of God, we are as glorified today as we will ever be. Digest that. Meditate on it. Realize what's happening there. God the Father sees you in the holiness of Jesus Christ, does not see your sin. We are as glorified as Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, in the mind of the Father. Now let's see if we can put all this together. God knew before the foundation of the world that Keith Barker would be saved. Happened right here, age 12. And now that I would be, and knowing that I would be saved, God predestined me to be conformed to the image of his Son. And how did that happen? Because he called me. He summoned me. And from my own free will, I said, I believe, I repent, I receive. It's as simple as that, John 1:12. Believe, receive, become. And when I received Christ, I was declared righteous before the throne of God as a 12-year-old boy. Not that I will be glorified, I am already glorified in the heart and mind of God. Clothed with splendor, destined for heaven. What amazing truths. These are the five love links that make up God's salvation chain. Foreknowledge, predestined, called, justified, glorified. A chain that cannot be broken. Like the elephant, once you've surrendered to Christ's chains of love, your life is over and his life begins in you. He, our substitute. That's what it is to be born again. If you can understand, children, if you can understand these five points, you understand the Bible. It's not that complicated. Foreknew, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. Well, let's finish there. Let's close in prayer. Father God, these are amazing truths. No human would have the nerve to set forth such a program that we as sinners amazingly stand glorified before a holy God, hidden behind the blood and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, that you might, by your Spirit, open the understanding of those who are on the outside of that door that realize chosen before the foundation of the world applies to them. And so thank you for this time through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.